Hello, everyone. This is Pamela Miles, and I'm, as always, looking forward to spending some time with you. I really enjoy doing these webinars and always have a feeling of the presence of all of us, even though all I get to do is read your questions. And just to make sure that everybody feels comfortable, take a look at your control panel and see that there is an area where you can type in questions. You may have to click on the triangle near it to open it up, but play around with that. And Gianluca is helping me with the webinar, as he often does, and so he'll be checking the questions because it's hard for me sometimes to stay with the content and be on top of the questions at the same time. But he'll check them, and if it's something that he knows, he'll answer directly. Otherwise, he will find a way to grab my attention. Okay, here we are, natural flu defense. Let's everybody just take a moment, maybe put your feet flat on the floor. Take a nice, comfortable breath. And let's just be present. Okay, very good. So the topic today is natural flu defense. And I'm going to share with you not only my favorite tips, but also I've asked a number of my dear friends and colleagues, people whose expertise I rely on, to give me their top tips because who knows, maybe all I know how to do is take care of myself and my family, and this way you'll get a little broader perspective. And for your convenience, there is a page that you should be able to see in the welcome screen with the link to a page on my website. It's reikianmedicine.org/natural-flu-defense, nothing too creative there. And there are all the links for the experts that I'll be citing and also for the products that I'll be mentioning so that you don't have to be taking notes. You might want to have that page up so you can check it as we go, but I believe all the links are functioning, and if they're not, I know I can count on you to let me know so I can fix it. I need to start with a disclaimer, of course, that this is in no way to be seen as medical advice. I am not a licensed healthcare professional. This is an educational webinar to help you become aware of other things that you might be doing in terms of lifestyle management that can strengthen your health. Particularly today, we're going to focus on flu season, but you'll find that at least some of the things that we talk about are not going to be limited to flu season. So I'm not here to tell you what you should do. I never like to do that, but rather to give you information that you need to evaluate to see how relevant it is to yourself. Getting good information to the public and even sharing good information with my friends is something that I'm really passionate about. And it's one thing when it comes to Reiki practice, but it becomes even more critical when we're talking about healthcare interventions such as, for example, herbs, probably the most dramatic example. Because if you're going to take herbs, you want to make sure that you've got a good product. Herbs need to be harvested correctly, and companies that are built on the heart and soul of herbalists will know these fine points about when to harvest, what part to use, how best to store the herbs and things like that that make a huge difference in terms of the potency and effectiveness of the product that you bring to your home. So again, I'm going to be sharing with you the resources that I actually use, the products that I have most confidence in. But I can only point you in the direction. You need to customize this information to your own needs. And this is particularly true if you are on medications and you are considering taking herbs, right? So you have to be responsible for yourself. What we're going to be talking about are not so much flu remedies as self-care and self-maintenance. You know, we're all individuals. Conventional medicine looks at the bug, and they tell us that currently there are three strains of flu that are out there, and that one is particularly virulent, and it is especially dangerous for seniors. So if any of you have elderly neighbors or elderly family members, be sure that you are really on top of them, that you're in touch with them, and if they show any signs of not feeling well, that you are involved right away. The most important thing that you need to know if you want to take a natural approach to health and well-being in general, as well as flu defense, is that you need to know yourself. You need to know your body. You need to know your tendencies. And Ayurveda is a really good way, a relatively easy way to do that. So on that page towards the bottom, you'll see that in case you're not familiar with Ayurveda and you don't know your constitutional tendencies, afterwards you can go to the Banyan Botanical link. It will take you right to a survey, a very simple survey that you can take and start getting to know yourself a little better. Things like, you know, do you tend to run hot or cold? Are you energetic or do you tend to get sluggish? All of these things will help you to determine what's the best intervention for you when. When it comes to prevention, there are three things I want to say very generally. The first is be seasonal. The second is be attentive, and the third is act fast. So be seasonal. What do I mean by that? Those of us who don't live near the equator experience changes in weather, temperature, the amount of light that we have, the seasons. And our bodies, which are made up of the same elements that the earth is made up of, respond to the changes in season. So it makes no sense to eat the same thing and behave the same way and obviously to wear the same clothing at all times of the year. People figure out the clothing part pretty quickly, but they often try to keep to the same schedule when it really makes more sense to sleep more in the winter and sleep less in the summer. And left to our body's own devices, it tends to do that. If you want to know more about seasonal eating, there is a book there by John Duyard, who is my favorite Westerner espousing Ayurveda. I love, of course, to learn more about Ayurveda from the Indian doctors, but John has good understanding and he can make it really relevant. So check out his book, and he's actually written a number of them, but that's a good place to start. But basically, think of what you want to eat in the cold weather. You really don't want to eat salads. Salads are a cold food. You want to eat soups and stews, whether or not you're a vegetarian. You know, foods that are soft, that are well cooked, that are easily digestible. You want root vegetables. You want food that is nourishing and easy for your body to turn into fuel. And you do want a little more fat in your diet in the winter. So ghee, olive oil, or a good quality coconut oil. Be attentive. If you don't have a daily practice of Reiki or meditation, which is, you know, a natural time to be attentive to oneself, you might want to start a little practice for yourself of just checking in. A minute or two in the morning, maybe before you open your eyes, to just see what it feels like to be you that morning. And a couple minutes at night, either sitting up in bed before you lie down or as you're lying there about to fall asleep. And notice what's happening. Notice how you feel. Notice if you're feeling more tired. And then act fast. Act on what you're noticing. So if you realize, yeah, you've been kind of sluggish today, especially at this time of the year, don't put it off. If you wake up in the morning and you're feeling more tired than usual, don't disregard that. Pay attention to yourself and make whatever changes you can make in your schedule. First of all, if you're a Reiki practitioner, give yourself some extra Reiki self-treatment or schedule some time with your favorite healthcare practitioner. Seriously, the most important reasons why I rarely get sick, although it does happen, are that for 26 years I've been giving myself a Reiki treatment every day, and I also monitor how I feel and adjust my schedule. Many years ago, I asked my Qigong master if there were one thing that he could tell people to help them protect their health, what that would be. And he said, nose breeze. Now, he said breeze because he has a strong accent, but I love it because, of course, that's exactly what it is, nose breeze. We feel that breeze when we breathe through our nose. Nose breathing, when it makes sense, is by far the most healthful breath. Keeping our lungs healthy is very important any time, but especially in this weather, and especially if you sit at a computer a lot, because we all kind of hunch forward a little bit. So maybe right now, try rolling your shoulders up and back and down, pinching your shoulder blades a little bit, and feel what that does to your upper chest. Then place your hands at the bottom of your rib cage, your thumbs in the back, your forefingers at the front, and see if you can breathe into your rib cage at that point, the bottom of the rib cage, in such a way that it expands out and front and back. When I asked my friend and Reiki student and one of my favorite yoga teachers, Elena Brower of Vira Yoga here in New York City, what suggestions she had for you, she said that very simply she's been talking a lot about breathing into the lower lungs because that's where the most oxygenation takes place. And it's simple enough. You'll get so, if you practice it a few times, you won't even need your hands there to be able to feel the difference. And this shouldn't be a strenuous deep breath, but just a natural opening in the lower rib cage. At night, you might, or in the morning, you might want to put a small roll under the tips of your shoulder blades. That will also help your shoulders and your upper arms with an outer rotation that will open your breathing capacity. happy citrus oils such as bergamot, which some of you may know is in Earl Grey tea, that citrusy scent that is so appealing about that tea. These scents are very helpful at this time of the year because they're, I call them happy scents. And when we don't have a lot of light and when it's cold, you know, the winter is a time of contraction. And in the best place scenario, the best case scenario, the best place scenario for me would be someplace where it's a lot warmer than it is here in New York City. But the best case scenario, in the winter, we're naturally drawn inward. We're more contemplative, we're more introspective, maybe we meditate more, but we don't want our bodies to contract. You know, we want to keep our lungs open, keep our breath open, and so the happy scents like bergamot, and really any scent that you like can be your happy scent. Or one thing that I like to do almost every day at this time of the year is to drink jasmine tea. And I've given you my favorite source. I drink green tea because I don't like a lot of caffeine. But you can also get jasmine tea and black tea. Jasmine is an uplifting botanical, and so it helps your mood as well as getting a little bit of caffeine in your system if you can tolerate it. Can help you if you have trouble getting started in the morning. And if the caffeine is a problem, then just pour the hot water for green tea, hot water, not boiling. Pour it through the tea once, spill that out, and then brew it because most of the caffeine comes out in the first brew, and there is a little bit of caffeine in green tea, not nearly as much as in black tea, and of course not as much as there is in coffee. But jasmine is uplifting, it's antidepressant, and it's tenacious. You know, it stays around for a long time. I contacted herbalist Pam Montgomery, who has been respected for her knowledge for many, many years, and asked her what she would suggest for you. And she brought up that there is a subtle spiritual, or if you prefer, a vibrational, energetic level of protection that is our first level of protection as individuals. And when that is breached, then it makes it possible for bacteria and viruses to enter the physical body. Now, of course, this is speculative, this is traditional, but it has no conventional scientific documentation directly. However, there is documentation of the link between depression and lowered immunity, which is related, right? When we're depressed, we're not like fighting for our well-being as readily, as easily as when we feel well. So I think that this makes a lot of sense in terms of what Pam is saying. And on her website, and there's a link there, you'll see she has a whole line of essences for protection. And essences are very, very light. They're not even botanicals. Rescue remedy, the Bach flower rescue remedy, may be an essence that many of you are familiar with. Pam makes essence of echinacea and St. John's wort, but she says her personal favorite is sacred basil, which is excellent for all kinds of protection. So take a look at them. I contacted Herbalists and Alchemists, which is the company that was started by David Winston, a really amazingly knowledgeable herbalist that I've known for many, many years. And David is unique in that he is a Cherokee lineage holder. He is also very well versed in Ayurveda and in Chinese herbalism. So it's both the Northwestern and European traditions and the Asian traditions. And what David has said is if you can only have one thing in your house, it should be andrographis for prevention and for treatment. And you'll find that this is often the case in natural remedies, that the same thing that helps you prevent if you take it consistently in lower potencies, lower dosages, will also help with treatment, but you just up the dosage. If you have access to Chinese patent formulas, you know, those little tea pills that you can get in Chinatown, or there's a company, Meiwei, that you may be able to access them from. Jade windscreen is a very well-respected, relatively easily available Chinese patent formula. The CEO of Herbalists and Alchemists, Beth Lambert, has a program that she uses for herself that she was willing to share with us, and I am going to definitely do this next year. Herbalists and Alchemists has a product called Immune Adapt, and she starts that in the fall. Then she says when the beginning of December comes, she adds small amounts of Echinacea and Andrographis. She continues that through the winter, and then towards the end of March, she'll tail off the Echinacea and the Andrographis. And sometime after that, maybe into April, depending upon the weather and how she's feeling, she'll tail off the Immune Adapt. And links for all those products are on the page. You'll find that sometimes, depending where you are, you may be able to get Herbalists and Alchemists products in a store, but you can definitely order them online. However, if you need something fast, there is a product that is really quite available. It's called Zand Inshore Herbal. It was originally formulated by an acupuncturist named Janet Zand, and then the company, the product was bought. But they seem to have not messed with it a lot. And you can get that at any health food store. And sometimes even at pharmacies, depending upon how into complementary therapies they are. If you need to get an even more commercial product just because you need something quickly, then look at Herb Pharm, H-E-R-B-P-H-A-R-M. It's pretty much available in the U.S., or another company that I like a lot is Gaia, G-A-I-A. And these are two, they're not huge companies. There are smaller, big companies. Generally, though, I have to say as much as I like them and refer people to their products because they're more available, whenever possible, I have smaller companies like Herbalists and Alchemists that I deal with. And the thing is, you have to be proactive. You want to make sure that you have the products on hand and you start taking them in the beginning. So, in terms of prevention, one key thing is don't get chilled. Don't get caught in a cold wind. So, you know, did your mother ever tell you, don't go out in the cold with a wet head? She was right. It may seem like an old wives' tale, but when your system gets chilled, what happens is that your digestive fire and your immune system, which are linked, holistically, traditionally, they're understood as being very linked, but even conventional medicine recognizes that 70% of our immune system is in our digestive tract. So that force in your body, that those functions are seen as fiery. And we literally don't want to cool the fire, particularly we don't want to do that at the cold part of the year. So if you notice that you've gotten a chill, it's important for you to reverse that as soon as you can. How important? Well, important enough that if all I had access to was a sip of brandy, that's what I would reach for. And then when I got home, I'd take a hot bath, put some of the oils that David Crow told us about. I'm sure you've all read his article on essential oils for prevention and treatment of colds and flu. So I won't take our time now with that. But if you haven't read it, there's a link on the page. You can read it now, or not now, read it in about half an hour, 40 minutes. So taking a hot bath with some of the oils like spruce or fir, eucalyptus, and or adding powdered ginger. You can get a bag of powdered ginger, a big bag from Banyan Botanicals, which is one of the resources on the page. But when you put it in the bath, as you're running the bath water, be careful that you're not inhaling it. And don't use too much because powdered ginger is very, very potent. Taking a hot bath, but not too hot. So the rule of thumb is if you start to break a sweat, that's hot enough. You know, and you even might want to cool it down a little bit. Okay, because the idea is to just reverse that chill. The idea is not to open your pores so much that you are exhausting yourself. Another thing that you can do, if you notice early on that you are feeling not quite yourself, is homeopathy. And if you don't have these remedies in your house, you might want to get them. You can get them, if it's easy, you can get them through Amazon.com or you can get them at your health food store. There are three that I suggest having available. One is called Gelsemium, G-E-L-S-E-M-I-U-M. And this is the one you take if you realize you're just feeling heavy and tired. You know, like if I don't jump out of bed the way I usually do in the morning, and especially then if I realize that I went to bed earlier than usual the night before, then Gelsemium is what I'm thinking of. However, if you did get caught in a wind, or you've had a shock, or there's a sudden onset of fluish feelings, the remedy to consider is aconite, A-C-O-N-I-T-E. And you can Google these online and read more about them. I just want to head you in a good direction. Belladonna is a homeopathic remedy that is really wonderful to have in the house. You may rarely need it, but when it's the right thing, it can be quite remarkable. And what you're looking for is a sudden onset, and you're hot, and you're dry, and you're red. Sometimes it's just one half of the face that is red, you know. But if you have those indications, you know, homeopathic remedies are safe enough that you can take a dose or two. And if you have the right remedy, you're going to notice a response. Sometimes it's dramatic, sometimes it's subtle, but you're just feeling better and then you can take another dose. If you don't have the right remedy, it's not going to hurt you if you take it a couple of times. my friend and favorite food maven, Anna Marie Colbin, finds that Ferfos, another homeopathic remedy, F-E-R-R-P-H-O-S, it's actually, I think, Ferrum Phosphoricum, but people just call it Ferfos, that if she takes that the first time she sneezes, that takes care of it for her. Now, if you are either just realizing you're under the weather or even a little beyond that, ginger tea is something that came up from several of the people that I discussed this with, including David Crow and Anna Marie Colbin. Ginger is one of those things that's just good for anybody and isn't going to hurt anybody as long as you take it reasonably. It can be quite spicy. So ginger tea is another thing that can help warm you. Slicing ginger and cooking it in your food, cooking it with vegetables, grating ginger into vegetables that you're cooking, or grating ginger into a cup and pouring hot water over it. Or Anna Marie suggests, especially if you have chest congestion, to take 4 slices of fresh ginger in a cup of water and simmer it for 10 minutes. You want to cover herbs when you're simmering them. Well, ginger's not an herb, but it's a botanical. And the same thing when you're steeping herbal tea, you want to cover it because you want to capture the volatile oils that are being released and have them available to you in the tea. And then Anna Marie Colbin suggests juicing a half of an organic lemon and adding that to the ginger tea. And if you like, you can sweeten it with a little bit of either raw natural honey, local honey, or Manuka honey. Another possibility that Anna Marie suggests is thyme tea, and it's very easy to make. And thyme is an herb that we get dried at the supermarket, right? So it's something that is very easy, easily accessible. A half teaspoon of thyme steeped in a cup of water. So steeped means you bring the water to a boil or just below boil and pour it over, and then you can strain it and drink it. And you could add lemon to that, and you could sweeten it a little bit if you want. But keep in mind that sweet taste tends to be strengthening / congesting. So in the cold, we want to be really careful with the sweet taste. That said, raw honey, and particularly local raw honey, has a lot of antimicrobial qualities to it. So if you have a sore throat, for example, or a cough, you can take turmeric. You can get it from, you know, one of the purveyors I suggest, if you like, or if all you can do is get it from the supermarket across the street, it's still going to be helpful. And put some raw honey on a tablespoon and add turmeric to it and just stir it in. You don't have to worry about proportions here. The idea is to make it palatable. I'm the kind of person that, with very few exceptions, if I know it's going to help me feel better, I could put just about any taste, no matter how bitter it is, in my mouth. But if you're not like that, you know, it's okay for this to be more honey than turmeric, because what you want to do with this is put it on your tongue and let it melt so that it's really coating your throat. But it's so important that it's raw honey, because when honey is heated, not only does it lose the enzymes that are so valuable, but also in Ayurveda at least, it is seen as then being toxic. Since congestion of some form or another usually accompanies flu, and since most of us, when we don't feel well, we become less active, which is a good thing, you still want to make sure that you are moving as you're able to, not exhausting yourself, but just some gentle stretching in bed even, because you want to keep your lymph circulating. You know, the lymph system is very important for natural process of detox and elimination in the body, but unlike your bloodstream, your lymph system has no pump, right? The heart is constantly beating and getting the blood moving. But if your body's not moving, your lymph is not moving, and we don't want those lymph fluids to settle anywhere and cause more stagnation. So whatever you can do, stretching, getting your arms over your head to the degree that you can is very good for your lungs. In particular, you can put one hand over your head and with the other hand massage in circles under your arm and then down your side, and then do it on the other side, because, you know, we have lymph nodes under our arms and also behind our knees. That's another place to massage gently to keep the lymph flowing. And, you know, bending your knees, you don't have to do squats. It can be in bed, but bending your knees, gently bringing your thighs up toward your abdomen, and then stretching out. And stretching the quads in particular is helpful because there are so many meridians in Chinese medicine that run through the front of the thighs. So this is a part of the body that easily gets congested, and then our digestion and elimination isn't working so well. So again, in bed, think of just stretching down one side of your body at a time, bending your knee, bringing your foot toward your rear, however you can manage it, not to hurt yourself, but just to get your body doing some movements that it's not doing otherwise. Back to the herbs. Herbalists and alchemists has an ultimate echinacea special right now. I noticed when I was getting the product links for you that you can get the, I think it's the 4-ounce ultimate echinacea, and they'll send you a free herbal throat spray that's also very good for sore throats and coughs. If you get the Andrographis, its tincture, it's very bitter tasting, so dilute it as much as you need. You're probably looking at 20 to 40 drops 4 times a day, and you can also use it as a throat gargle. You could add this to ginger tea if you like, but the taste, the bitter taste is the beginning of how the herb stimulates your body's immune system. So you don't want to mask the taste of herbs. It's better to dilute it to a level of bitterness that you can handle rather than to mask it with too much sweet. For kids, Herbalists and Alchemists has a healthy kids glycerin. So there's no alcohol in that. And that's also something that people who need to avoid alcohol, for example, people who are in recovery from addictions, who could benefit from the herbs but don't want to take tinctures, look for the glycerates. And adults can take kids' products, herbal products. You just want to take maybe 2 or 3 times the dose. Think of it in terms of body weight. If you have the flu, Herbalists and Alchemists has a very good formula called VX, like viral immune support. And at that point, you could take high levels of the ultimate echinacea, maybe even 2 dropperfuls about every 2 hours. With herbs, generally, the herbalists that I've learned from suggest dosing higher at the onset, and then you taper over time. But continue to take the herbs for a few days after you're no longer symptomatic, because you really want to make sure that you're strengthening yourself so that you're able to stay well. One thing I've seen with this flu is that people are not getting better quickly, and a lot of people are relapsing. All right, I've been asked to speak a bit louder. I don't think I can, but I'm bringing the computer closer to me, so I hope that that helps. David Crowe, you may know for aromatherapy and essential oils, but what you may not know of him is that he's also a longtime Chinese doctor, acupuncturist, and herbalist. And David suggests taking, for prevention, drinking Tulsi tea every day and making it with fresh ginger root. So you could use the recipe that Anna Marie suggested, and you could then use that to steep Tulsi tea. If you don't have it readily available, Organic India, a company that was started by Prashanti DeYeager, is a very good source of Ayurvedic herbs. And they have Tulsi tea in a number of different combinations, lots of them. They have it plain, and they have it with rose, which is lovely. And one that I serve a lot to my students has ginger and lemon in it. It's kind of the cheater version of what David Crowe is suggesting, but it tastes great and it's very quick. David and Pam Montgomery both mentioned elderberry syrup, and this is something I've heard of for years and years and years. I have to tell you, I've never used it myself, but it has a very good reputation. It's safe for children, and you can find lots of different products. So that's something you might want to look into. If you have the GI flu, David suggests a 1/4 teaspoon of golden seal powder with the Tulsi and ginger tea every 2 to 3 hours for a day or two. You don't want to take more golden seal than that, because it can be hard on the system. And you don't want to take it longer than a few days for the same reason. If you're having trouble digesting, a diet of simple rice soup cooked with ginger and cardamom is what David suggests. It's very good for the stomach, and it's also good for supporting the lungs. And I was so happy to read that in David's email, because I've taken to making myself like a brown rice and amaranth farina in the morning. You can get it, you know, at a health food store. I mix it myself, and you just want to cook it really well and make it very soupy. And I add cinnamon, which is a warming spice, and ginger and cardamom. So it tastes a little bit like chai. It's like chai rice cereal or rice soup. And I put a little bit of grade B, so that there's more minerals than in grade A, maple syrup. And that's something that you can cook, unlike honey. And it gives a little bit of sweet and minerals. And it's a very, very digestible food. But particularly, if you're not feeling well, David suggests to avoid heavy foods, avoid or minimize dairy, wheat, and heavy gluten foods. No white sugar and minimal sweet, no cold drinks or juices, and eat mostly warm and lightly spiced, easy to digest, lighter foods. I am going to take a look at the questions here for just a minute. Gianluca, is there anything? I hope that people are able to hear me better now. And there's not slides for this, so there's just that one slide to let you know that you're in the right place. I made the page on the website so that you could get your information that way. And somebody's asking about the rubs for chest and body. You know, if you feel around with your fingertips and the top of your chest, just below your collarbones, start in the center, just below the knobs of the collarbones, and then work your fingers out towards your shoulders and just like, dig your fingertips in. Don't hurt yourself, but you'll feel if there are any places there that are tender. And then the idea is that you stay with it. You work it a little bit. But, you know, you don't need to bruise yourself. Really, we don't have to be aggressive about this. We can be a little more gentle. And another place that you can work is the web of the thumb and the forefinger, and you'll feel it. There'll be a place that's tender, and yep, that's your body's way of letting you know, touch me there, move things around there, but again, be gentle. And another place is on the outside of your shin, to the outside of your shin, just below the knee. If you feel around there, you'll get it. And these are points. The one in the web of your hand is large intestine 4, and the one that I just told you about by the outside of your knee, below the outside of your knee, is stomach 36. And these are the two most powerful immune-stimulating points in the body in Chinese medicine. And you can, you know, just work them with your fingertips while you're watching TV or right now while you're listening to this. Before I finish up, I want to share some tips that Karen Rausch Carter shared. Now, Karen is a feng shui expert, and I love her book, Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. I love it because you can look in that book and within 20 minutes, you can find something simple that you could do that's going to make a difference and that you actually could do. You know, it's not complicated. It's not like you have to hire somebody. And Karen talks about feng shui as being the art of arranging your environment to be a healthy environment. We want our homes, our offices, the places where we spend a lot of time, to be places that support us and every part of our lives. We want to place ourselves in those environments in such a way that we're strong, supported, not vulnerable. So some things are obvious, like Karen said, you know, don't put the kitty litter box on top of your bed, right? None of us would do that. But then there are other things that we might not think of as energy zapping, energy depleting. Like in feng shui, it said that if you have a mirror in your bedroom, situated in such a way that you can see it from your bed, that is debilitating. And I don't want to get into the philosophy behind this. I'm going to say take it for what it's worth. Either it makes sense to you, you think it's worth doing, or don't bother with it. Another thing is having a window above the headboard. Very de-energizing. You're vulnerable where there's a window. So it's lovely to have a window that you can look out of when you sit in bed, not a window behind you where something could be entering, something could be coming at you, and you can't see. Similarly, it's important for your bed, and feng shui pays a lot of attention to the bedroom because we spend a third of our lives there, even when we're healthy. So the placement of the bed in the bedroom is very important. You want to have a headboard. It anchors the bed and makes you feel safe and secure. You don't want to have something like a ceiling fan right above you when you're in bed. It's fine to have it in the room, but not right above you. Hopefully, there's not a toilet on the other side of the wall behind your bed. And watch that when you're lying in bed, your feet aren't pointed directly out the door. So if there's a way to position your bed such that you have a headboard and a wall behind it, and you can see the door, so nobody can come in and surprise you. The idea is that when we can see the door, we feel safe and we feel strong. And your feet aren't pointed right out the door. That would be the best situation. And then, of course, clutter, you know. So one of the first things that any of the feng shui experts that I've consulted have said, clutter is like stagnation in your body. These are things we don't want. So attend to it or hire somebody to help you. You know, sometimes it's hard to get started yourself, but if you hire someone, an organizer, then you learn habits and you get systems together and you're able to do more yourself. You also see how much better you feel, so it becomes easier to keep it up. Your bedding as natural as possible. And it's best, Karen said, if you're not under a sloping ceiling and you're not under exposed beams. But to be in a room, you know, where there's good ventilation, cleanliness, it's attractive, and lack of clutter are just a few of the things that you want to consider. So, now we have a few minutes to take your questions. But while, or maybe before you start typing your question, think of, without looking at your notes if you've taken them, just remember one or two things. What are the first things that come to your mind that have been discussed? And jot them down, underline them, circle them, because chances are those are the things that are going to be easiest for you to do. Nobody's going to do everything here. It doesn't even make sense, but if we finish and you know what appeals to you, it's more likely that you'll actually do that than if you have to go back and look at your notes to figure out what's the next step for you. All right, I see a question from somebody who constantly feels tired, who isn't sleepy until very late at night. That's a problem. Then wakes up with the first daylight, still feels tired. I feel like it has to do with the cold, being indoors a lot during the weather. And yeah, I mean, this all sounds like it could be related to the season. And I think that a combination of allowing yourself to rest more, getting to bed earlier, going to sleep earlier, and making sure that you're getting enough gentle exercise, you know, that you are moving your body, even if you're just wiggling around the house or speed walking from one room to another, but wiggling and twisting. You know, twists, gentle twists are something we can do in a chair. And this is a movement that we don't get generally in our everyday just walking about. It's best to be in bed by 11. It's even better to be in bed by 10. If you are not tired at that time, chances are you've missed your winding down period. So then, if you're a Reiki practitioner, I suggest doing a Reiki practice around 8 o'clock in the evening, maybe 7. If you're not a Reiki practitioner, why not get a treatment? Look and see who might be available in your area. Because one of the first things to respond to the balancing effect of Reiki treatment is sleep cycles. And on my website, maybe I'll add this. I have a couple of articles to help people to know, you know, who is a credible Reiki practitioner, what's a good class situation, so that you can find somebody near you. And if I didn't think to put those links up, I will add them. Any other questions? Did you say that you should be able to see mirrors from your bed or that you shouldn't? No. You don't want to be able to see yourself in a mirror from your bed. One explanation that I've heard from that is that when you get up during the night, you know, if you get up to go to the bathroom or something and you're like half asleep, if you see yourself in the mirror, it's startling and disturbing to the mind. And when the mind is disturbed, then, of course, we don't sleep well. What about rubs? We did that. Are there any special Reiki hand positions that can help ease the limb system? Just practicing Reiki, the regular, you know, self protocol, whatever self protocol you use, is balancing to your whole system. And that will help guard against stagnation to a certain degree. But Reiki practice isn't the only thing that everybody needs, right? I mean, we also need to eat. We need to sleep. We need to eat well. And we need to move. People tend to think of exercise as something you do at the gym. The only reason why we have to go to the gym to exercise is because we no longer have movement as part of our daily life to the extent that we did in, let's say, an agrarian society. So think of ways that you can add movements into your life every day. If you're in an office, why not walk a couple flights of stairs rather than take the elevator? Or in the city, of course, we're able to walk quite a bit. You know, I'll get off the elevator early and walk up a few flights of stairs, or get out of the subway, the stop before mine, so that I'm walking 10 blocks. Just get creative. You can definitely find ways. Anything else? Somebody's saying about my husband works a later shift and around midnight is when I see him. Can I maintain optimal health with a skewed schedule? You know, I don't want to go near that because all I can say is sometimes we just do the best we can, you know, because having a good relationship with your husband is clearly very, very important. And I don't know how you can solve this, but I'm sure you can work it out, and you'll know by how you're feeling whether you found a good solution or you need to do something else. And certainly, since you're a Reiki practitioner, if you're giving yourself adequate daily self-treatment, that's going to help a lot in terms of maintaining your natural rhythms and helping you to sleep well. Okay? All right, dear ones, I hope that you found something of use here, and please feel free to share this. The recording will likely be posted on that page later today, but definitely by tomorrow. And so those of you who are here live know about it, where to find it already. The page is not protected, so you're welcome to share it with friends if you found this useful. And everybody else, if you have friends who registered but weren't able to be with us live, they will get an email tomorrow that will have the link. Okay? Please be well. Take good care of yourselves. You know, when we take good care of ourselves, then we're able to be there for the people that we love and the people that we serve. Goodbye.